151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought or in deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called, ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We take the insert for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost and chant the intro.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Thank you.
God, you gave your Son into the hands of sinful men who killed him. Forgive us when we reject your unfailing love, and grant us the fullness of your salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. The Old Testament lesson for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 5. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste, and it shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are as pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
7 through 15 from the front of your hymnal, responsively by whole verse.
The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. And he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. When, therefore, the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the Scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Hymn 544. You may be seated.
Oh,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus, God's Son, is a cornerstone of the church, the rock of our salvation, the stone upon which we build our lives. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus is standing on Jesus, the cornerstone, rather than the downward call of the world made of the rubble and the rocks of discontent. Today, in the parable of the vineyard, Jesus is telling us about him being as the sun in the vineyard. He's also the rock that was rejected, that became the cornerstone. And St. Paul indicates we want to join in Christ in the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Every day, when you get up in the morning, there's two ways you can live your life. You can live your life in the downward call of the devil and the world and your own sinful flesh. Or you can live your life in the upward call of the prize in Christ Jesus to God the Father in heaven. Which one of those has been pulling on you lately? Because we are old Adam and new man at the same time. There are days, because of our old Adam, we're pulled downward to the things of this world. You're here at the divine service because you want to be pulled upward to the things of God, because you are new man in Christ. So today, we build our lives on Jesus, God's Son, the cornerstone of the church. We serve faithfully in his vineyard. We're not going to base our lives on the broken stones of this world, but on the rock that is Christ. So, if you want to live in the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, let us first consider the parable of the son of the owner of the vineyard. Jesus begins. Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard. This parable is autobiographical because Jesus is speaking about himself as the son in the vineyard, about himself as the cornerstone. And the master of the house is God the Father. God is the master of the house. He planted a vineyard. The vineyard is Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, as was explained by Isaiah in chapter 5 this morning. God planted among all the nations of the world the people of Israel, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, chose them of all the nations in the world from whom he would bring forth a Messiah of the line of Judah. Israel was his vineyard, his chosen people that he planted in the world. The master of the house then wants to get fruit from his vineyard. And the fruit from the vineyard is repentance and faith and obedience, the fruit of faith. He's looking for this in the vineyard. He even provides everything to protect the vineyard. He puts a fence around it. There's a wine press so they can press the grapes into wine. There's a tower to protect it. All the provisions were put there for Israel. And then he sent his servants to the vineyard to receive the fruit of their faith. The servants stand for all the prophets God sent to Israel, from Moses all the way through Malachi, whether it be Micah or Isaiah or Jeremiah or Daniel. He sent the prophets to receive the fruit of the vineyard, which was repentance, faith, and obedience. What did they receive instead? The servants were sent, but one they beat, the other they killed, the other they stoned. If you know your Old Testament, you know this literally happened. This is not figurative speech. This is literal. They would kill the prophet. They would beat him and stone him. And so the master now decides, I know what I will do. I will send my son to the vineyard. God the Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to the vineyard. Surely, they will respect Him. But we know what happened. When Jesus comes to the people of Israel, to the vineyard, they see Him and say, let's kill Him and take the inheritance for ourselves. So they literally throw Jesus outside the vineyard. Jesus was taken outside the city gates, crucified at Calvary, outside a place of shame, and there He was killed. He wasn't just killed. He was crowned with thorns. He was spat upon. His back was whipped, and He was nailed to the cross and pierced with a spear. This is how they killed the owner's son. God here is picturing exactly what Jesus knew was about to happen to Him during Holy Week. Though He would come in upon the donkey, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, soon the cries would be turned to crucify. They crucified the owner's son. This is an exact description of what happened to Jesus during Holy Week. Even the people who were listening to Jesus recognized under the law, the unbelievers who did this were wretches. They should come to a miserable end, which is hell. But the believers and the tenants who believe the gospel are giving their fruit in due season, brought into the garner of heaven. So people either believe and accept who Christ is as God's Son, or they reject Him. There's only two types of people in the world. Those who repent, have faith in Christ, and bring forth fruit of faith, and those who do not believe and reject and spit upon Christ and walk the other way. Thus our Father loves us that He sent His only Son into the vineyard to be crucified. He died for us in this vineyard. He poured out His blood for our salvation. And the wine and the blood which He gives you in Holy Communion is for the forgiveness and the remission of your sins. Jesus, the Son of the owner of the vineyard, was thrown out and crucified in our place. Secondly, Jesus is speaking autobiographically of Himself as the cornerstone. Jesus said, had you not read in the Scripture, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus now switches to a different picture. He is the stone rejected, which will become the cornerstone. Here Jesus is quoting the scriptures in the book of Psalms, foretold by David that the stone rejected by the builders would then become the cornerstone, which was a marvelous doing of the Lord. Those of you who have ever watched Masons lay a brick wall. Those of us who saw the man laying all the stone here around the church 22 years ago when we added the new wings here. You watch the masons take the broken stones that they can't use and throw them to the side in a pile because they need whole pieces as they're building the wall. This is a picture of Jesus. Here's this broken stone that the world just cast over to the side in the heap of rocks. This is useless. We can't use this. But then God the Father comes and takes that broken stone and takes it and makes it the cornerstone of the church. This is marvelous. No one ever expected God to do this. He took the broken stone of Christ and He made it the cornerstone of the church. What does the Scripture say? The church is built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And that cornerstone is the cornerstone of the church and the cornerstone of our lives. If you walk around our building, you see the various cornerstones put up during the history of this congregation. Jesus is that cornerstone which we hold in high esteem. Even though He was opposed by the priests and the Pharisees, the people recognized He was a prophet. And more than a prophet, a cornerstone sent by God the Father. Now the reality is, when you have a rock and a stone,
it serves three different purposes. If you have a rock in the middle of a path, it's a stumbling stone. People come along, they look at it, they're not careful, they trip over it, they stumble, and they fall. Christ is a stumbling stone and a scandal to unbelievers. Christ crucified, they mock. They laugh at Jesus. They disregard his words. They stumble over him. He's a stumbling stone. They see no purpose. They stumble over him. They don't stand with him. Secondly, a boulder and a rock crushes. When a boulder comes down and crashes, it smashes everything underneath it. On the day of God's wrath, Christ will come as a boulder that crushes all violence, unbelief, and wickedness. They will be crushed under the boulder of Christ. But thirdly, and most more beautifully for us, Christ is the cornerstone, the rock upon which we stand. We teach our children to sing, "The wise man builds his house upon the rock, and the foolish man builds his house upon the sand." With Christ as the rock of our salvation, with Christ as the cornerstone, we are built into God's temple as living stones, which is the holy Christian church, and that is the purpose of Christ, the broken one, being come the cornerstone of the church. To carry on the upward call of God in Christ Jesus is to recognize Jesus is the one who died outside the vineyard. Jesus is the one who's the cornerstone of the church and of my life. Then thirdly, St. Paul in Philippians describes what that means if the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is our Lord. We gain our righteousness in Him, not by the law. In His suffering, death, and resurrection, He has made full atonement for all of our sins, and that is credited to our account by faith. When we believe that Christ died for us, our debt is paid in full by His blood. Atonement, justification, reconciliation becomes ours simply by receiving it in faith. By grace, through faith, we are accounted righteous. This is why Paul says, you can forget the past and press on toward what lies ahead. You confessed your sins this morning. You heard the word of absolution. The past is the past. Press on to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus is exactly what our Lord Jesus, the cornerstone and the Son of the vine dresser, wants us to do. Today, as we're about to have the litany, thanking God for Lutheran Women's Missionary League and their theme this year, "The King is Coming." That King, that cornerstone, that one who died outside the vineyard, gives us the gifts of our time, talent, and treasures. We gather our mites and our coins, and Lutheran Women's Missionary League sets their mission grants. Those gifts are used to carry this message of Christ to other people. And the cards you receive when you leave about the work to help Braille workers, help the deaf, help people in Tanzania and Haiti and Kenya, in Kazakhstan, in South America and India, all over the world and over our country, we hold forth that the King is indeed coming. We will use our mites and all of our gifts to serve Him. So my friends, the kingdom of God is here right now through Christ crucified and risen. He has come to you and comes to you in the water and word of Holy Communion, with the preaching of the word. And when you receive the wine with Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, He is as near to you as your breath, as water, as bread and wine, your mouth, your eyes, your ears. So what will it be? Will we get sucked up in the downward call of the devil, the world, and the broken stones of this world? Or will we be pulled upward to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, heavenward, where Christ reigns forever and ever? We will see the very King Himself, our cornerstone and the rock of our salvation. God grant that we do walk in the upward call of God in Christ Jesus each and every day till Jesus returns. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding Guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Page 158, we stand to confess the Nicene Creed. Please stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge my baptism and the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please take the insert. The King is coming. Lutheran Women's Mission Sunday. We begin the prayers by speaking together responsively the litany and then the prayers of the church. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving.
When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who see God, let your hearts revive.
For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners.
Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them.
By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers.
But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how is God's love abiding in him?
Little children, let us not love in word or talk,
but in deed and in truth.
Then the King will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me.
I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.
Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink?
And when did we see you a stranger among you, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?
And the King will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. By the grace of God, we pray for the international work of Lutheran Women's Missionary League, and we bring our mites each month as gifts from the heart out of love for our neighbor, praying the Lord may use them to care for those in need.
Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to serve others out of the love you have shown us in the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, our eternal King.
The Lord bless the dedicated work of Lutheran Women in Mission and all the gifts we bring, that they may be a blessing to all who receive them.
Amen.
Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
We pray together.
In fervent gratitude for the Savior's dying love and his blood-bought gift for redemption, we dedicate ourselves to him with all that we are and have. And we please excuse all for murders and our hearts seals. We bless you in our willing service wherever and whenever he has need of us. We consecrate to our Savior.
us in your vineyard, the church. Your dear Son gave his life for us. Inspire us to find shelter in Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, by the death of your Son, you have granted us that we share in the inheritance of eternal life, the power of his resurrection. Bless Trinity, Lutheran Church, Child Care and Campus Ministries, and all the ministries of this place. Bless also Debbie Dijak as she serves in Eurasia and Riga, Latvia, as a missionary. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all the lives of our congregation members, our families, our children, grandchildren, all who are married and single, for in Christ we have our true home adopted into Christ's kingdom. This week, especially be with Al Rohde, Gabriel Hartman, Pastor Evan Gagline, Bo Hughes, Sandy Lundmark, Pastor Chad Dietrich, Kim Darmody, John Zubialdi, Chuck Marr, David Mikey, and Linda Sepulveda. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Shine your light upon us that we may do good and right as faithful citizens of our country and nation. Bless our president, our governor, those who serve in the Senate and the Congress. Bless police and firefighters, those who serve in the military, Eli, Courtney, Danny, Mike, Emily, and Alex. And we ask, O Lord, that you would bring an end to the war in the Ukraine and also bring a peaceful end to the war taking place in Israel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Strengthen our hearts to heed your word every day, to look to the rainfall of your grace that sustains us each and every day. Grant healing and strength to those who are in need of it. Gay, the sister-in-law of Carol Wente, Jamie Huntley, Barbara Cron, Lindley Grisurek, and Edith Eisenbrown, Candy Darney, Larry Miller, Deborah Stratmoen and Ed Punt, Amy Johnson, Arlisa Tarver, Madison Lemke, Jay Gallagher, and all who need healing and strength. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the family of Kay Bruckner at her death. Grant, Lord, that by your gracious purpose you would sustain Peter and all her family with the sure hope of a blessed reunion in heaven, where we share Christ's body and blood in this holy supper. You will bring us at last with her and all the saints to dwell in your everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your salvation be proclaimed beyond these walls to all the world through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
As we collect the offerings this morning, please take the pad next to you at the end of the pew, tear out a sheet, fill it out, and when we leave this morning, please place the sheet in the basket in the narthex. You may be seated.
Page 159, we stand to sing.
Much of our grandeur to the Lord, for all his death is to me.
right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places. Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of glory and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you've had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body of Christ.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
take and drink the blood of Christ, shed for you. The true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith, body and soul, to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Canticle page 164, we stand to sing.
Thank you.
loving kindness sends your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.